You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Happy Friday, Broncos country. Sorry we didn't get the episode up a little bit earlier. Got knocked out with a migraine, but on Friday, hopefully for your ride home, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, maybe a little bit of a day later, we got you covered with another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at predominantlyorange.com of the Fansided Network. I just did a great article over there. I hope you guys check it out regarding what the Broncos should do with the 10th pick now that they have a quarterback on the team by the name of Joe Flacco. Today's episode is a huge episode because it is Fan Friday. Now, next Friday will be the official Friday where we have a guest, a listener of the show who is a Broncos fan on our show. We're going to start that up next Friday. So if you want to be interested in it, we've got a couple people already interested in being on there. Let me know. We'll get you on here for our Fan Friday special. But we're going to hear from Broncos country today and Fan Friday because there's some big Broncos news that we have to break here at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about it. Today, the Broncos had informed inside linebacker Brandon Marshall that they will not be picking up his option, thus making him a free agent come March 13th when the new league year rolls out. We're going to talk about that segment number one. Segment number two, we're going to head to our voicemail line to hear a couple more thoughts from Broncos country on the Joe Flacco trade and what that means for Denver. A little bit more acceptance now after some time has been able to process that segment number two. And then in segment number three, we're going to go Fan Friday. We're going to talk about the Brandon Marshall news from a fan perspective. What does Broncos country think about the Brandon Marshall move? What should the Broncos do to address the inside linebacker position, as well as fans' thoughts on Joe Flacco 48 hours after the trade has happened, and he's now a Denver Bronco. So let's dive right into it right now. The biggest news of the day for the Broncos, I mean, it seems like this week has been a big week for Broncos country. A lot of news. The Joe Flacco trade on Wednesday, and now the news that Brandon Marshall will not be returning to the Denver Broncos. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say he's not going to be returning to the Denver Broncos. They just, you know, his option didn't get picked up. That means he's going to become a free agent. Brandon Marshall today told Troy Rank that there is a chance that maybe he comes back, but it would have to be at a very discounted lower price. At this point, with the moves that we've seen with the Broncos culture and the change, I think Brandon Marshall is going to get his opportunity to go play elsewhere. And, you know, I think we got to thank Brandon Marshall for his time in Denver. He was very, very important, very, very pivotal for the Broncos' success in Super Bowl 50. He got to play in two Super Bowls. He was in Super Bowl 50 as a starter, contributed big time, covering, going against Cam Newton and the Panthers and Jonathan Stewart at the running back. Without Brandon Marshall in 2015, the Broncos have a harder time going to the Super Bowl. And Brandon Marshall really had some help there at the inside linebacker position. He was more of the run stopper guy, while Danny Trevathan could be the guy who covers running backs out of the backfield, tight ends. That was a more likely matchup that we saw that really, I think, took the pressure off the Broncos defense. So Brandon Marshall, very, very pivotal for the Broncos success. However, all good things must come to an end. Now, this is a good move for the Broncos in the long term because Brandon Marshall, unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy in the last 3 years. Two out of the last 3 years, he's had banged up injuries. He had a shoulder, torn rotator cuff, and then he had a knee injury in 2018 that hindered him. The Broncos did the right thing. They had to make a move. They had to go on from Brandon Marshall, and now their focus transitions to the NFL draft or free agency. Top target, CJ Mosley. If not, Devin White is a guy to look for the Broncos at pick number 10 in the draft if he's not already off the board. Going back and thinking about this too with Brandon Marshall, it wasn't as if he dropped off. Now, I think a lot of his lack of production, or, you know, I'd say lesser production, I mean, I think he had a great stretch where he just amassed over 100 tackles in consecutive season. That was a good feat for Brandon Marshall, over 100-plus tackles in each and every season. However, that kind of dropped down a little bit. He missed some action early on due to a knee injury, and he just couldn't get on the field. We saw more Josie Jewell, the rookie inside linebacker. He stepped up and did a good job, but the question is, I don't think Josie Jewell is replacing Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is a guy that I don't think we can necessarily replace as an organization. You can obviously have to fill in some guy. How do you do that, though? Todd Davis became a very good run-stopping linebacker for the Broncos, so ideally, Todd Davis should transition to that role that Brandon Marshall had when the Broncos had Danny Trevathan. With that said, is Josie Jewell the type of guy that will fit in Vic Fangio's scheme to be the guy, that versatile, fast linebacker that can cover? I don't think that's the case. That's going to be a really hard thing unless he can really develop. But the goal, the objective for the Broncos this offseason, inside linebacker is one of the biggest needs outside of cornerback. I'd say it's the second highest need. Now with the move of Brandon Marshall and his option not being picked up, the Broncos have to make a move at inside linebacker. They have to get a guy in here, whether it be Devin White out of LSU, so versatile and run-stopping, hard-hitting inside backer. You don't see a lot of inside linebackers of that stature anymore. We saw how valuable it is to have a versatile inside linebacker, Super Bowl 53 with Dante Hightower and the Patriots inside linebacking core. We've seen it all year. You got to have that type of guy that's an eraser, and Devin White is that guy. CJ Mosley is also that guy, but will he be franchise tagged by the Ravens? That's the biggest question. So with this move, I think, you know, it's sad for Broncos history. You know, Brandon Marshall got a lot of flack for everything that he did. You know, the biggest controversy was when he decided to take a knee and kneel during the national anthem or stand in the hallway during the national anthem. But here's the thing, and I'm not going to be hard on Brandon Marshall for this. Brandon Marshall did so much in the community for Denver, for youth. He worked, he partnered with Denver Police Department. He partnered and talked with people who are in the military about this and came to an understanding that, like, it was action, it was discussion to create change in the community, and it did a lot of good work. What Brandon Marshall did in the community of Denver cannot be, I don't think you can understate it enough how important it was for community development. Brandon Marshall will always have a special place in Broncos country heart, but like I said earlier, all good things must come to an end. For the Broncos, this is the best move for them to do. They're going to try to get younger. They're trying to get a little bit more versatile at that position, and unfortunately, that wasn't the case for Brandon Marshall. He wasn't able to stay healthy. He wasn't able to be that versatile guy that they had several years ago that could cover, that was a little bit more consistent in coverage, but more so, his strength was being type of that hybrid player. I think he's better suited off in a system where he can just focus on stopping the run, and teams could go more of a nickel or a dime package, giving him some space to play the run and other people play the pass. That'll be a good move for Brandon Marshall in the future. So before we get into segment number two, where we're going to talk about, we're going to hear from Broncos country on the Joe Flacco trade. We received more voicemails way after the fact, after the news had broke about Joe Flacco being traded to the Broncos. We hear a couple different perspectives from fans in Broncos country. We're going to talk about why the move for Joe Flacco is actually the best option for the Denver Broncos in the short term and what it means for them going forward as an organization, coming up in segment number two. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys, with the All-Star Game festivities coming up in the NBA this week, I got to tell you guys to go check out Adam Ades and Locked On Nuggets. They're going to be doing a live All-Star Game Watch live podcast over there at the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Head over to Locked On Nuggets on Twitter and check out all the details on where you have to go in order to be involved in the live, first ever Locked On Nuggets podcast. Fan interaction, microphones will be passed out, fans can get their questions in, and they can be on the Locked On Nuggets podcast. It's going to be on Blake Street. Check it out, Adam Ades and Locked On Nuggets. Okay, so before we jump into the voicemail line for the Locked On Broncos listeners, where we received more word on the Joe Flacco trade, I got to clear things up a little bit. On Wednesday, I believe everybody was more reactionary than everything to the Joe Flacco news. 48 hours has come and gone. There's time to process what exactly the move means for the Broncos, and I'm going to tell you guys why. This move for the Broncos is good in the short term, and trust me, have patience with this. Joe Flacco to the Broncos is great in the short term because it provides experience that the Broncos haven't had since Peyton Manning. And that's not comparing Joe Flacco to Peyton Manning. We're talking about experience. Joe Flacco has won playoff games. Joe Flacco has won more playoff games than the Chiefs have. That's good news. He's had 10 playoff wins. Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl MVP. He's taken his team to the Super Bowl. He's also had not a very great supporting cast around him. You know, when Joe Flacco had Steve Smith, there was some effectiveness there. When Perryman was able to get a little bit more healthy, there was some effectiveness there. He had a great year under Gary Kubiak, but Joe Flacco is not just your average journeyman quarterback. Joe Flacco was the Ravens franchise guy until they drafted Lamar Jackson. Now, Broncos country, listen to me closely. This is a good move for the Broncos in the short term because not only does Joe Flacco's salary have $0 in guaranteed money, it is an easier fix for the Broncos in terms of cap spaceage. The Broncos will offset Case Keenum in a trade, taking away Case Keenum's contract, which the cap hit for that would be much more significant than Joe Flacco's. So financially, it is a smart move for the Broncos. Now, in terms of play-wise, Joe Flacco has more consistency as a pocket passer than Case Keenum did. Case Keenum's strengths as a quarterback were rolling out, throwing on the run, play action. Joe Flacco is more of a pocket passer. He's got more consistency on and touch on his deep balls, so look for Cortland Sutton to be a beneficiary of Joe Flacco the most in this system because this is the biggest thing. Case Keenum, if you go back on film, and I highly encourage fans to get NFL Game Pass if you haven't already, get it, go back and watch film, go watch the coach's film. We go back on certain films, and there were many instances where Case Keenum overthrew Cortland Sutton or threw it behind him. And there's also times where Cortland Sutton dropped the ball. Absolutely. But Joe Flacco has more touch on his deep ball, the short and the intermediate routes, than anything. And Joe Flacco was much more effective than Case Keenum on third down. There was a point in the 2018 season Joe Flacco was converting at least 80%. I believe it was 82% of third down conversions. Case Keenum, 22%. Not a very good statistical category for Case Keenum, the guy who is currently the Broncos quarterback. But the Broncos, for the short term, they're making a great decision here, bringing in Joe Flacco because he's experienced. He's been a winner before. He knows what it takes to win. And you don't have to have him do so much. I don't know why so many people don't understand this. You don't need Joe Flacco to go out every game and throw 300-plus yards and hope to win. Joe Flacco can manage a football game. If he can reduce turnovers, which, I'm sorry, in my opinion, I think Joe Flacco is less turnover-prone than Case Keenum has been or is. So that is an optimistic side, right? We talk about the doom. We talk about the gloom. 34 years old. People say he can't play at 34 years. Look at Tom Brady. I mean, I'm not trying to compare him to Tom Brady in terms of regimen and everything like that, but people continue to use a narrative on Joe Flacco that he's always injured. He started in every single game minus two seasons. He's played in a lot of games minus over the last two seasons where he has been banged up. Their offensive line in Baltimore hasn't been that good. Now, is he going to a great offensive line with the Denver Broncos? I don't think he's going into the greatest situation, but he's going into a much more improved situation, in my honest opinion. And it also helps that you have one of the best line coaches in all of football in Mike Munchak. So, Joe Flacco, he doesn't have to come in and be this guy that lights it up the way Peyton Manning did in the year 2013. You don't have to have that dynamic with him. He can come in, manage the game. If he can move the ball on third down, if he can convert in the red zone, which Case Keenum was unable to do, this is a good pickup for the Broncos in the short term. What does that mean for them in the long term? That means that they have to draft a young quarterback to sit behind a guy like Joe Flacco who can teach him a little bit more about the NFL grind. Now, everyone wants to say, well, he did a great job. He didn't really volunteer to take under consideration and take Lamar Jackson under his wing and coach and mentor him. He didn't have to. And the times where Lamar Jackson was the quarterback, guess what? I watched Ravens games this year, and Joe Flacco, after every timeout, after every offensive series where Lamar Jackson was on the bench, you saw Joe Flacco talking with him. If that's not mentoring, coaching him up, helping him through it, I don't know what is. And in the playoff game when he was getting booed by his own fans for not doing really well, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco said it was messed up what fans were doing because fans were chanting for Joe Flacco to come into the game. Listen, have a conversation with Ravens experts. Have a conversation with Ravens fans. Even some of Joe Flacco's former teammates have said that this is a good decision. Minus Elvis Dumervil. Elvis Dumervil, he's got to fax check some things because he sounded a little salty. But you can't compare Peyton Manning and Joe Flacco. You absolutely can't. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. We don't have to compare people to other quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, all he's got to do, he's got to come in, he's got to be able to move the chains, provide some offensive production, which the Broncos didn't have at the quarterback position in 2018. So, let's take a look to the Lockdown Broncos voicemail line. We got a couple more calls. either some directly after we posted the episode of all the voicemails and some a couple days later with some clarity, with some thought afterwards. Let's take a look.
Cody, what up, bro? Chris Sleeper in Durango. I'll try to make this quick, but I got four things I want to hit on. First of all, like, I don't understand why Broncos country is so upset over this. I mean, I think everybody feels like it's a parallel move for more money, but if you look at Flacco's contract, it's really not expensive. There's no guaranteed money. It's really, as far as starting quarterbacks in the NFL are concerned, it's not that much money if you look at what other guys are getting paid. Obviously, you have to figure out what to do with Keenum. Number two, Flacco has won 7 road playoff games. 7. The Broncos as a franchise have won 3, okay? That holds some weight. Last year, 2018, Flacco's third and short percentage was like 88%. Best in the league. Keenum, 33rd in the league, okay? So there's that. One last final thing I wanted to touch on was Flacco's never had Emmanuel Sanders, Phillip Lindsay. You know, he's never had name one elite running back or wide receiver that's played on that team. Look at our new line coach. Look at our offensive coordinator. It's Kubiak style. Flacco's best years were under Kubiak. I mean, I think this is a good move. It's all going to come down to what we do with Keenum, and if we can trade him, get out of that money and use it elsewhere. Obviously, that's a factor, but always showing that he's going for it. He's not waiting around. There's no rebuild. This is now. So I like it. I really do. I like it. I mean, no, it's not sexy. It's not glamorous, but hey, it's what else is there? Foles? Foles doesn't fit our scheme. I mean, who do you want to get? I mean, there's not a prospect in the draft that will fall to you at 10 that's going to make a difference. There's no Mahomes in this draft. There's nobody at 10 you can get. This is a good move. I like it. Grab a quarterback in 2020. Thanks, brother. Love the podcast. Love you on Twitter. I'll talk to you soon, bro. Later.
Chris touched base on some very, very valuable things there, including Joe Flacco's short yardage percentage on third down compared to Case Keenum. Case Keenum ranked bottom in the National Football League. This isn't the sexy move. And I think he made a great point of mentioning that Nick Foles is going to get something on the market that will make Joe Flacco's contract look ridiculously easier. You know, Joe Flacco is going to be a guy that doesn't demand so much money in terms of what he already has on his contract. Nick Foles is going to change the quarterback market just a little bit because he won a Super Bowl as well. He's going to get paid more, and that's going to drop Joe Flacco down in terms of total cap hit compared to what you would take on with a guy like Nick Foles. That's just a more risky move, in my opinion, than anything. So I absolutely agree. Great point there.
Hey, guys. This is Rich from Greeley. I'm okay with the Flacco deal. Let's send Keenum back to Minnesota and get Slaughter. Great show. Thanks.
There it is. I was wondering when we were going to hear about Kyle Slaughter. Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. I was talking with a Vikings fan today, actually, and you know, what would the odds be that Denver trades Keenum back to Minnesota? That could be something. Highly unlikely, but it would certainly be interesting if possible. Maybe get a young guy, Kyle Slaughter, to be the quarterback of the future. I tell you what, he's got a lot of promise. Local Colorado guy. Who knows what Rich Scangarello could do with him.
Hey, Cody. It's me, Garrett. Just wanted to say love the show. Love everything. Love you, Cam. But actually, I wanted to talk about for Fan Friday is Joe Flacco. I want to talk about how all these crybaby Bronco fans, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big Bronco fan, but all these crybaby Bronco fans are saying, I hate it. He's just as bad as Case Keenum or just as equal. No way. All I got to say is read the stats. 10-5 in the playoffs, Super Bowl MVP. How many playoff wins have the Chiefs' whole franchise had in their whole history? They're 10-19. So, yeah, I'm going to take Joe Cool. And all you who think Drew Locke is actually going to lead us in year one if we drafted Drew Locke, thank God you're not running the team. And if you guys have lost faith in John Elway, jump ship now because the man's brought us 3 Super Bowls. And, yeah, maybe he hasn't gotten the quarterback position right. And, yeah, there is some blame to go around. But, come on, a lot of the comments I'm reading on Twitter and just people are – just, you know, jump ship now. We don't need you here because when Joe Cool is leading us back to the playoffs with Phillip Lindsay and Rolls Royce, Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders, I don't want you guys back on this bandwagon. So thanks for everything you do, Cody. and Cam, and you guys have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
Garrett dropping bombs here on the Locked On Broncos call on line 970-541-2966. And Garrett, you know, you make a lot of great points. You know, I think the frustrating thing is, I get it, Broncos country was really upset. A lot of Broncos fans were very upset by the move. But as I talked about a little earlier in segment number two, the Broncos are making the best move for them short term, because look, I'm not sold on this quarterback class, and everyone's looking for the next Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to find that right now, and I'm sorry, I share the same sentiments. I don't think a quarterback in this draft, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, whether it's Drew Locke, I don't think they're going to come in right away, like you said, and have success. I think they're going to struggle more so based on what we've seen from them at the college level. The transition from college to the pro game is very, very difficult. It's every once in a blue moon you get a player like Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs, they got that. They got that guy. That's not going to necessarily happen with the Broncos right away. And I think for the short term, Joe Flacco, the best bet. Playoff experience, as you mentioned. Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl win. That is very, very evident. He's gone into Foxborough in December, in January, and he's beaten the Patriots in the past. The Broncos have to be able to do it. They got to go on the road and win. And I think with Joe Flacco right now, if we're talking win now, I think this is the best move for the Broncos in the short term. They still got to get a young guy, whether it's 2020 quarterback draft. I think that's a more quarterback-friendly, NFL-ready draft. You got to get a guy in that. Sit him behind Joe Flacco for another year and then play him. Joe Flacco is not going to be a four-year guy here for the Broncos. He's going to be a 1 to 2 year guy, or maybe 3 years at the maximum, and then a Broncos rookie or a young guy, a second-year player who hasn't got a lot of playing time, who's developing under Flacco, will be the guy that they insert going forward in the future. That is the, I think, the one path that the team is going to take. So coming up here in segment number three, we're going to read the rest of Fan Friday, Broncos Country, reacting a little bit more so on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, to the Joe Flacco news. What do they feel 48 hours after the fact compared to 24 hours after it happened, or immediately after it happened? And then their reaction on Brandon Marshall, a lot of thank yous to Broncos inside linebacker Brandon Marshall, who will become a free agent in March. Jumping through our final segment here on Fan Friday. Like I said, if you missed it earlier, we're going to have fans of the show, fans of the Denver Broncos, starting to be guests on the show on Fridays starting next week. So if you're interested, shoot me a DM at Cody Rourke NFL. But today's Fan Friday question, I asked Broncos Country, how do you feel about the Flacco trade after 48 hours of letting it rest? And does Denver go with inside linebacker in the draft with the Brandon Marshall news, or do they develop Josie Jewell into the role Fangio's defenses have had over the course of his tenure as a defensive coordinator? And the first response we got, at newtype_JK47. We can still look at guys like Mosley or even a safety like Adrian Amos. Since I think Stewart's time is up, Simmons, Amos, Parks, and Thomas would be a pretty sweet lineup. Draft-wise, I still believe quarterback, as it makes no sense to do that in trade and have no quarterback of the future in place. Very interesting point here, and I'm going to give a quick kind of emphasis on this. I think they have to go inside linebacker regardless in free agency. You know, I like the idea of Adrian Amos. I think more than likely Darian Stewart, we've talked about it, will be released by the team because it's just too much of a contract thing for him. Productivity has dropped in terms of the passing game. He's very vulnerable out there in coverage. He's more of a run stopper unless they converted Darian Stewart to linebacker. It'd still be very hard for the Broncos, I think, to keep Darian Stewart. Simmons, Parks, Demonte Thomas, all pretty good, promising, up-and-coming young guys as well. Justin Simmons thought to be the future of the Denver Broncos in their defensive side of the ball. He's young. He's their stablemate safety. He's been phenomenal. Had a little bit of an up and down year in 2018. I think in 2019, he takes a bigger step. Eric Blackman, he says, I don't think Jewell has the physical traits necessary to start in Fangio's system. I think he'll be a rotational player. And I agree with this. I think right now this is a fair evaluation of Josie Jewell. When we look at Vic Fangio's defensive schemes from the past, I mean, he's no Roquan Smith. He is no Danny Trevathan. You know, I think Josie Jewell is right now the best inside linebacker that it has coverage capability, but I don't think he's got the traits that Vic Fangio wants in his defense with Ed Donatell. So that's why I think C.J. Mosley or Devin White is the best bet for the Broncos. Steven Curtis, I don't like the Flacco trade, even if I think he's better than Keenum. I think we have to get an inside linebacker in free agency or draft now, but not necessarily in the first. There are some solid guys like Devin Bush, Mack Wilson that might be there, round two. If I go draft, I think I also do develop Josie Jewell as well. And I think Josie Jewell will develop. I think that's going to be an evident thing. He's definitely got a lot of promise, a lot of potential. I have nothing but high praise for Josie Jewell, but he still has a lot of room to improve as a player. So thank you, Steven. My man, Patrick Chiodi. As far as B. Marsh, I think it was time to move on. I get he wanted to restructure, but he dropped weight to be more athletic last season, and it didn't work. I think they go inside linebacker and try to shift Josie Jewell into Vic Fangio's system. And then response to that, okay, let's do this. Let's go. Celtics says, moving on from the money, or at least a large part of the money he is owed, is the biggest thing for me. Having that much dead money is dumb, especially when you're trying to win now. That makes sense. And I think they're talking a little bit along the lines of Joe Flacco. So according to SpotTrack, Joe Flacco's contract sits about $18.5 million, where Keenum has an $18 million base salary with a $3 million bonus. So overall, that is a better deal financially for the Broncos by trading Case Keenum away and having Joe Flacco's contract on there, and you have an upgrade at quarterback. I think that's the evident thing that we've talked about here. So that'll do it here for our Fan Friday edition of Locked On Broncos. Look forward to Monday. We got a Reddit Ask Me Anything segment coming up on Monday's episode of the show. Go to Reddit.com, download the Reddit app, go to the Denver Broncos subreddit, and be prepared to engage in the conversation. We're going over all the responses on Monday's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. See you then.